Welcome back, Willand. There is a letter to the editor going around about one of the candidates running for the open seat in our third district here in Indiana, the open congressional seat. This is the seat that's going to be left vacant by Congressman Jim Banks as he makes a run for a U.S. Senate seat. But this letter to the editor is calling into question essentially the integrity of GOP candidate Tim Smith. Now, allow me to read a portion of this letter to you. It says, and I quote, "Dear editor, I'm writing to bring your attention to a matter of significant concern regarding the candidacy of Tim Smith for Congress. As a member of our community, I believe it's crucial to ensure that those seeking public office uphold the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and accountability. Mr. Smith's involvement with Pearson Woods Academy, Lifeline Youth and Family Services, and Lasting Change raises serious doubts about his fitness for elected office. Mr. Smith's tenure coincided with troubling allegations of sexual abuse and misconduct. These allegations, as reported extensively in the media, raise questions about Smith's leadership and judgment. Since 2017, the Department of Child Services received at least 27 reports alleging sexual abuse or inappropriate behavior by staff at Pearson Woods. Smith's role in managing the response to these allegations, including attempts to secure immunity from lawsuits filed by abuse victims, calls into question his commitment to transparency and accountability." This letter goes on, actually, a few more paragraphs, but for sake of time, I think you get the idea here. So here to respond to this letter is Tim Smith himself. Good morning, Tim.
Morning.
I can't believe this is what we're talking about, but here we are. First and foremost, you've seen this letter, right? You've read this letter. You do know what we're discussing.
I'm aware.
Okay. I want to start here. I actually want to start with the timeline, because correct me if I'm wrong. This letter says since 2017, some of these allegations were made, but you didn't even start working for Lifeline Youth and Family Services until 2020, right?
Yeah, this is just another desperate attempt by political opponents who are losing badly in a race. I actually started working for this nonprofit, and I am really proud to do the work that I'm doing for this nonprofit in 2020. Started working there in 2020. Didn't become the CEO until January of 2022. I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the letter because unlike the author of the letter, who was a plaintiff's attorney in the one and only civil suit that my nonprofit has received in 55 years, literally, the only civil suit received in 55 years, based on incidents which occurred literally years before I got there. That settlement was confidential, by the way, and dismissed by the court with prejudice afterwards. Not sure if your listeners understand what that means, but that's good for us and not good for the other side. So I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the case because this is really less about Travis and more about desperate political opponents who are losing badly and just trying to make up ground by doing what politicians do. This is what they do. When they lose on the issues, when they lose in the debates, they just throw mud. The genesis of this article actually started in April of last year when the Indianapolis Star partnered with a group called ProPublica. Mm-hmm. Now, your listeners might not know who ProPublica is, but ProPublica is the most liberal research organization in America at the national level. They're the ones who have been going after Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas forever, trying to get Clarence Thomas knocked out. That's who the Indy Star partnered with to write this story. So, look, we are a really proud, we at Lasting Change in Pearson Woods are a really proud provider of mental health services to children and families who are helped by the Indiana Department of Child Services. And Kayla, a lot of your listeners probably don't know who that is, but suffice it to say, these are folks who have had real challenges. These are kids who have had real challenges. We are a Christian faith-based organization, and I am honored to now be the CEO of that organization, which today is helping over 10,000 families in 92 counties in their homes every day, helping these kids who need it more than anybody else in our state. Interestingly, we do business both in the residential space, where we help kids who the state has said, you will have to live in a residential facility. By the way, there's only 440 of these kids in the entire state, okay? Only
wow.
440, right, out of 6 million people. So these kids are in difficult straits, and we are honored to help them. DCS has given us more kids to help today than ever in our history. Kayla, I ask you, do you think if DCS was concerned about abuse at our facilities, they'd be allowing us to help more kids than we've ever helped?
Yeah, if something nefarious was going on, that would really likely wouldn't be the case. But I do want to clarify something that you said, because you just said it. This letter to the editor was written by an attorney. You said it. His name is Travis. But then you said this is a desperate attempt by political opponents, this letter. So I'm confused, because Travis isn't one of your political opponents.
Well, Travis is an active member of the Democratic Party in Kosciuszko County, which is part of this district. Travis has run for offices in that party. And the letter is being used by political opponents to gain ground. It's really sad. You know, this is what people hate about politics. They hate the dirty side of politics. Mm-hmm. I've been on TV a fair bit, as some of your listeners may know. I haven't run a single critical line, not to mention ad, about my opponents. And I committed from the beginning that I wasn't going to, until they went negative.
And, oh, boy.
And look, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
You can't just sit back and, you know, be falsely criticized, which is what's going on here. The facts are, DCS is today allowing us to serve more kids than ever before. That is a clear and very loud indication of their not only satisfaction, but pleasure with the services we provide in both the residential and the non-residential case. The specifics in the letter come from a file that this plaintiff's attorney turned over to the media last year, which never should have happened. Mm-hmm. They are facts that were given in deposition testimony, never cross-examined, never subjected to the rules of criminal procedure. Anybody can say anything in a deposition,
right,
or any time. Until that testimony is subjected to cross-examination at trial, which, as all of your listeners know, is what our Constitution allows, nobody knows the truthfulness or veracity of that, which is why I'm not getting into it. I don't discuss files and cases that were settled under confidentiality agreements, because the agreement itself precludes me from doing so. So I'm not going there. I'll only tell you the facts are false.
Here, just for sake of time, Tim, because we're running out of it, but there is one little piece that I'm kind of hung up on that this letter to the editor states. It says, including attempts to secure immunity from lawsuits. I have also read about this, particularly in the Indy Star. They've had multiple articles, not just one in particular. But that's the thing I'm kind of hung up on. Did you, in fact, seek immunity?
Yeah, it's another false statement. So this is unfortunately going to take your listeners down into the weeds a little bit, but there was a bill pending last year in the Indiana legislature, which would have included nonprofit residential providers under the Indiana Tort Claims Act. The Tort Claims Act caps at $700,000 any lawsuit alleged or filed against a state actor. It simply would have included nonprofit residential providers under the group of people protected by the Indiana Tort Claims Act. So not only is there no immunity, so that's false, because $700,000 judgments are permitted. But here's the other fact that the letter to the editor misses, as did the Indy Star reporting before that. The bill specifically excluded from protection any criminal, willful, or wanton act. Obviously, physical abuse of any kind, including sexual abuse, would be criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it is a desperate attempt by my liberal political opponents to take down somebody who's doing very well in this race right now. It's so sad when career politicians perpetuate and continue lies to try to take down political opponents, is what this is.
Are you saying the Indy Star got it wrong? You didn't seek immunity?
I'm saying, yeah, they got it wrong. What does immunity mean to you, Kayla?
That you would be null and void.
Right. So it is false on two grounds.
Not you specifically.
Right. It is false on two grounds. One, it would have allowed lawsuits up to the Tort Claims Act, $700,000. Which, by the way, for your listeners' benefit, if a snowplow owned by the state is driving down the road and it clips a car and the person in the car dies, The state is only liable for $700,000 under the Indiana Tort Claims Act. That's the law, okay? In the nonprofit residential space, or any other vendor of the state, a private nonprofit vendor doesn't enjoy that protection.
Right.
The reason this law was submitted and proposed is because in this case, it's not DCS who's in the homes helping these kids every day. It's not DCS who owns and operates the residential facilities helping these kids every day. It's a nonprofit, like the one I'm the CEO of. And so extending tort claims protection to those folks makes perfect sense. So number one, the immunity accusation is false because immunity means, as you said, null and void. When in fact, a $700,000 judgment, same as the state, would also have been permitted here. The second reason it's false is because it had three exceptions. The tort claims protection would not have applied in the cases of criminal, willful, or wanton behavior. But do you think the attorney of the letter said that? No. Did the India Star publish that? Not to my knowledge. So, Kayla, when reporters get it wrong and political opponents decide to try to leverage that, it's just sad. Let me tell you who I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about plaintiff's attorneys who chase ambulances. I'm concerned about the children we help every day. And I could not be more proud to help over 10,000 families across the state of Indiana right now. The fact is, the insurance that we and other residential providers have to buy has gone up over 10x in cost in the last 3 years. The cost of insurance is going to make it impossible to stay in this business. In fact, three of my residential competitors have gone out of business in the last 12 years.
Wow.
The reason, in part, is the cost of doing business and the cost of insurance. And when false allegations are made, that doesn't help.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you coming in because I know it was kind of a dicey topic to get into this morning. We are way out of time. I'm sure we'll have you back in as the primary approaches.
Much.
Tim Smith running as one of your GOP candidates in Indiana's 3rd Congressional District.
Podcasts by Federated Media.